This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
I really try not to eat shrimp if it doesn't come from one of our farms or from a farm I trust. And I didn't eat shrimp before starting this venture.
Shrimp is America's most popular seafood product. Yet the industry is rife with problems, from human slavery to ecological devastation. This week on Sea Change Radio, we speak to Daniel Rusick, the founder and CEO of Ataraya, a Mexican-based company whose innovative shrimp farming solution is called Shrimp Box. Rusick talks about the problematic practices plaguing the shrimp industry worldwide and gives us a peek into the Shrimp Box approach. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Daniel Rusick. Daniel is the CEO and founder of Ataraya, and their product is called Shrimp Box. Daniel, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Hi, Alex. Happy to be here.
So first, why don't you explain the problem that a lot of consumers may not be aware of, which is the shrimping industry, and then let's dive into the solution that Shrimp Box, your product, is offering. So what's the problem with shrimp in general, Daniel?
So I think that the first problem with shrimp is that the market cannot get enough of it. Basically, it's the number one seafood product that in almost any country, both by volume and value, most notably by value. For instance, Americans spend 70% more money on shrimp than on the second place, which is salmon. So, and where you have, when you have a market that cannot get enough of anything, you have on the other side people that are willing to do anything to get it, right? So you have basically two options, which is one is wild catch. But the problem with shrimp is that they don't swim most of the time. What they do is that they walk. So they hang out on the seabed. And so the only way to get them is basically dragging net, no? So you need to drag the bottom of the ocean, where something between 50 to 90%, depending on who's counting, of the ocean life lives, no? Or the ocean biomass live.
So the shrimp themselves might be wild caught, but then they may be catching some other extra stuff in these nets, which are damaging the ecosystem.
Yeah, the nice word for it is bycatch. So, and basically, shrimp wild catch is responsible for 50% of the global bycatch. And bycatch means, yes, killing something for the benefit of no one from the ocean. So, yeah, so that is the problem with traditional source, which is wild catch. And wild catch numbers are not going anywhere. We're not going to get another million kilograms from the ocean anytime. So then shrimp farming was developed, and it was developed in countries like Mexico and Ecuador that developed the technology early on. But then the problem is that the basically shrimp farms rely on a continuous water exchange with the ocean on a scale that is comparable to a 500,000 people city, for instance. The average shrimp farm in Mexico is considered to be 200 hectares or about 400 acres. And it has a continuous water exchange like a 500,000 people city.
Can you explain what you mean by water exchange?
Yes. It's basically, so have you ever had a fish tank in your house? After some time, if you get greedy and you put more fish, more hobby fish there, then they will start dying with their mouths to the surface. That's because of aeration, no? That's because of oxygen. So they basically take the oxygen through their gills. This is how they breathe. So, but you put basically an air pump there, and it's and problem solved. No, at least with the oxygen. But the second problem is more important. That was what gave me problem with my mom when I had a fish tank in my house, which is the water gets green. Why does it get green? Because shrimp and fish, they breathe through their gills, but they also metabolize. They get rid of nitrogen. And this is so they eat nitrogen in their protein, and they get rid of it through their gills. so in the form of ammonia. So this ammonia start building up, and the water gets green because ammonia is a fertilizer. So there are algae that are floating in the air, and this algae makes the water column green. So shrimp farmers, fish farmers, we don't care if the water gets green. The problem is that after a certain threshold, after a certain concentration, the ammonia becomes toxic. And this gives the shrimp or the fish something that is called the nitrogen syndrome. They cannot get rid of the ammonia, and they die.
So you need a healthy level of water exchange to keep whatever the marine life might be alive.
That's one strategy. Yes, that's a traditional strategy, dilution. So basically, in the case of the kid, it has a toilet to flush the water. And in the case of shrimp farming, it's basically the ocean. That's the ocean. So you are taking water from the ocean and discharging it at the same rate in order to keep your levels at the same, to keep your water levels. And on the outflow, the problem is contamination. It's pollution. So and that water has organic matter, but also shrimp farmers. I'm sad to say that some of them, they use traditional shrimp farmers. They use pesticides, for instance, because when they are filling their ponds, they are bringing in crustaceans, other kinds of crustaceans. So they add an insecticide to the water in order to kill the competition, because otherwise the feed conversion ratio goes up, no? Which is your most important cost. So they add toxins to kill competition from shrimp.
So then the result from these traditional shrimp farms can be dead zones in nearby ocean regions or inlets. The main problem is that the surrounding areas can get toxified.
It could be. Yes, exactly. I don't think that there is sufficient data on this, on what has been the impact on the water outflows. I don't know anybody that is researching this, but what is really known is that in order to get this easy access to water is the mangrove deforestation that this has caused. So instead of fighting or investing millions of dollars to create a structure that brings water from the open ocean, you're located by a lagoon. So that's what shrimp farming does. So mangrove forests are very efficient in terms of carbon capture, 5 times as efficient as any rainforest in the world. So in 50% of what we have lost in the world in terms of mangrove forests, which are also nurseries for the ocean, have been devastated by the traditional shrimp industry.
And what regions are these most prevalent? Both mangrove forests and shrimp farming?
Yeah, no, it's a good question because so there are many crustaceans and there are many shrimp species in the world, but there's really only one that has been properly domesticated. And by this, I mean that you can get actually a selective breeding out of them. So you get the broodstock from the ocean and you get the larvae, and those larvae can become your broodstock. Those are your F1s, F2, F3, blah, blah, blah. And after many generations, you have selective breeding. For the only species that this has been successfully made and there's an industry around it is Peneus vaname, Pacific white-legged shrimp. And the native area of this species is from the Sinaloa, coast in the west coast of Mexico to Peru in the Pacific.
These are different than the Southeast Asian farming species, or they're the same?
They're the same. So basically, this is the shrimp that has been adopted everywhere in the world to grow shrimp. So in places where you have on this tropical region, you can get three cycles per year, and in places where you're outside of these temperatures, you can get one cycle a year.
So my father loves ruby red shrimp. He lives in New Orleans. These are not the kind of species then that can be farmed?
If they come from wild catch, most likely they are not. And if they come from the coast, from the Gulf Coast, yes, most likely they are not. So we have wild catch, and now we have the problems. We have shrimp farming, traditional shrimp farming, and now we know the problem. So, but I talked about the problem on the outflow of the water. So the problem on the outflow of the water is pollution. And then in order to set the farms, you need to destroy habitats. But then on the inlet of the water, the problem is financial, because then you get disease. So a typical shrimp farm doesn't have any way to control the quality of their water. So disease come in to your pond and you cannot control it. So then the question of this industry, if you own a farm, is not if, but it's when you're going to have the existential threat of disease coming at your door and destroying 50 to 70% of your production on any given year.
And then it becomes a cost-benefit analysis of, is it worth putting this harsher insecticide to kill whatever the disease might be, or cutting costs? Or it sounds like there could be a very slippery slope for a farmer to try to save their crop.
Exactly. And then so they start using antibiotics, which in reality, I've been farming shrimp for 12 years and I don't see any real benefit on antibiotics for shrimp farming.
But that's largely prophylactic, right?
As prophylactic, exactly. And sometimes they use it as a reaction, but most of the disease that we are worried are viruses. So your antibiotic doesn't have any use for it.
And then we end up getting traces of that antibiotic in our diet that we're not maybe counting on.
Exactly. No, for sure you're not. So you can Google this and you can see scandals about this frequently. Yeah, that's the problem.
Give me a shrimp, old boy, dressed and a cold, cold beer. A shrimp, old boy, dressed. Hurry, bring it here. Been too long since my lips paid a visit. Doesn't take long for my lips to miss it. Give me a shrimp, old boy, dressed and a cold, cold beer. Give me a shrimp, old boy, dressed. Yeah, put everything on it. I know where I am and I know I can get it like I want it. Hey, baby, back there cooking, how you been? Do it up so good, make my taste buds grin. Give me a shrimp, old boy, dressed and a cold, cold beer.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio, and I'm speaking to Daniel Rusick. Daniel is the CEO and founder of Ataraya, and their product is Shrimp Box. So Daniel, you've laid out the shrimp industry's issues. What is Shrimp Box doing to try to address some of the shortcomings that we've seen up till now?
So Shrimp Box is a way to, it's basically a technology to enable local, sustainable, and affordable shrimp anywhere in the world. So it's basically enables anybody to grow shrimp in urban settings, in semi-urban settings. So the reason why, it's because of the most important technology advance of this is the zero water discharge that is made in a replicable way, in an accessible way, so that you don't need PhDs on your farm to run it. You basically rely on engineering software that encode these biotech protocols that we have learned for 10 years. And a remote monitoring from experts, from human experts that are advising you in case something goes wrong.
So explain the technology of Shrimp Box and why it's different from its predecessors. When you're trying to explain this to a shrimp farmer, what are some of the selling points? When does the light go off for them and they say, that's exactly what I'm looking for?
This is interesting because I'm considering in my mind, I have two farmers. And the farmer that I care about is the would-be farmer, the would-be shrimp farmer in a country like the United States or places where you don't have shrimp farming, really. So in the United States, 95% of the shrimp that is consumed comes from abroad. So there is no industry in the United States. There is no shrimp farming industry in the United States. So for that farmer or would-be farmer, the important thing is that this is a product that is very easy to market. And we have worked for over 10 years in order to make this a reasonable investment that will give you a good margin so that you can have a good return on your investment. And you will have a great infrastructure and support so that you can thrive. So you're not by yourself. If you will have your baby shrimp, your post larvae, you'll have the inputs, you'll have the infrastructure, the maintenance, monitoring, and also if you needed the go to market, right? And we will partner with you so that you can be successful at raising shrimp.
I'm still trying to understand the scale and the technology itself and how it differs from traditional shrimp farms.
The most important innovation in this, or the most important difference, is that we don't need water discharge. We don't need water exchange. So we can put these shrimp box in landlocked areas. We can use any water. We can turn it into basically the chemical conditions that the shrimp needs. And we will reutilize that water many times over. So you won't need to spend a lot of money in creating the salt water, but also in keeping the heat of that water. So, and this we learned from basically, I know it sounds, but we learned from nature, because nature doesn't have this option of disposing nutrients in something that is no nature, and then basically have this dilution. No, so. The way that nature works or treats this nitrogen imbalance is by creating a microbial community that captures this nitrogen and creates new protein. So, and this technology is called BioFlock. And this is basically how water bodies in the world maintain its balance, its nutrient balance. So we developed this technology to be applicable to shrimp farming. So this technology is old, or at least in theory, it's old. The understanding of microbial communities, it's old in this regard, but we applied it to shrimp farming. But then the cost of this biotech is complexity. So we turned these protocols into software.
It can't be added onto existing systems. You have to start fresh with a standalone shrimp box system. Is that correct?
Exactly. So basically we have solved everything. And the farm, whatever you need in the farm is already in the shrimp box. So all the infrastructure is already, it's there in the shrimp box. And then it has sensors and it has interactors that are connected to a cloud-based software that knows what to do, and it's basically orchestrating all of your production, but it's also telling us what you need. When will you need feed? When will you need your baby shrimp? And when your production will be ready to market.
Looking at pictures of your Indianapolis facility, which I want you to describe a little bit later, it looks very futuristic, very high tech, but I can't help but think that some subsistence shrimp farmer in Indonesia or Thailand, this would be not something that they would be able to afford. Is this going to be something that is scalable to all sorts of farmers around the world?
So, yeah, this is a great question. The biotech behind Shrimbox, it's applicable to any farm. And that would be affordable to a traditional shrimp farmer as well. And the software would be also applicable to a traditional shrimp farmer. For many years, we worked on this technology, and our goal was to develop it so that traditional shrimp farmers would adopt this zero water exchange technology. Then, the problem is technology adoption. No, if you have a good business and you're making money, and then it comes this guy that tells you, oh, if you adopted this technology, then you won't destroy the oceans. You might listen, you might not. So the ones that I talked with didn't listen. So this is why we invented this technology to basically not need to convince anyone in the traditional shrimp farming.
I woke up this morning and all my shrimps were dead and gone. I was thinking about you, baby, while you hear me weeping more. I got dead shrimps, yeah, someone is fishing in my pond.
I've served my best, baby, and I can't do that no harm.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio, and I'm speaking to Daniel Rusick. He is the CEO and founder of Ataraya. Their product is Shrimp Box. So, Daniel, why don't you take us on a virtual audio tour of the Indianapolis facility and explain how this might differ from a Sinaloan or Chilean or Thai shrimp farm that somebody might have toured.
Excellent. So you go into you basically are driving around Indianapolis, so the urban area of Indianapolis.
Nowhere near the ocean.
Nowhere near the ocean. And you just see a warehouse and you think, oh, is there a shrimp farm here? Okay, I'll take a look. So you go and you will see something that looks like a cargo container that has two tanks, basically two levels, no, one on top of each other. And each of these cargo containers, it has a control room with many different engines and pumps and sensors and interactors. And if you peek, because it has windows, you can actually see the shrimp. You will see basically like a lagoon, no? So you will see water that is either green or a little bit brown, like a natural lagoon. And you can just use one of your nets and you can drag shrimp just a little bit and you will see live shrimp living there, no? And you will see 20 or 40 of these shrimp boxes, depending on when you visit us. Right now we have 5.
And these boxes are like basically like a truck bed.
Exactly. It's a 40-foot HQ cargo container. And the reason why, it's because this is the biggest thing that you can move around the world using the intermodal system. So these are plug-and-play farms that were manufactured in Mexico City and that are ready to use. So for instance, in Indianapolis, we signed the lease in June. We put the first shrimp box in July, and our first harvest is going to be in November.
Yeah, that was my next question, is what's the harvest time? So it's just 3 or 4 months from start to finish these things mature. I guess that's maybe would lead this to be such a wildly popular product. Besides shrimp being tasty, it's got a quick harvest time.
Exactly. And the biomass is amazing because the shrimp, they grow 10,000 times its size in these 4 months.
Wow. Does that differ from the wild?
No. Well, these have been selective breeding, no? So it's been through a process of selective breeding. It might be 3 times or 4 times as fast as the wild caught shrimp, but through selection, not genetic engineering, but through selection. So, but other than that, it's the same animal.
And I should have asked you this earlier, but what's the price difference usually between wild-caught and farmed shrimp? Not the shrimp box product, but just traditionally in the last, you know, decade, what's the cost to the farmer itself? Is once you've kind of got your farm up and running, are your incremental costs comparable to the wild catch, or is it actually cheaper? I'm curious how consumers are paying for shrimp versus how producers are paying for their setup costs.
No, this is a very relevant question because really the average price of the imported shrimp is about, if you Google this, would be $14 to $18 per kilogram. No, the cost of producing that same shrimp is around $3.5 per kilogram at the farm. So the average consumer is paying basically 75% on intermediation. No, that is national intermediation in Mexico or Ecuador, and also international intermediation in the United States, so it can get to your city.
So how does that compare versus the wild-caught shrimp in terms of price?
The main cost for wild-caught is diesel, right? So basically the fuel. I think it's easier to compare this on a price point. And if you get the cheapest commodity, the cheapest frozen commodity, it would be farmed shrimp. And basically we're talking about the same size, no? Imagining that we're considering the same size. The cheapest commodity would be farmed shrimp somewhere from Asia, no? Probably India. And then the top line, the most expensive still commodity shrimp would be wild caught from a US, from an American ship, No, and the difference would be about 65%.
And that's because of labor and environmental regulations? Or why would the American ship be more expensive versus, let's say, the Indian ship?
So here we're talking about equilibrium prices. So I think it's both. So it's also a reflection of cost, but I think it's also a reflection of what the market is giving value to. No, I think that having a domestic boat, I think that the market gives a little bit more trust to that it has complied with some regulations or some environmental. I don't know. You can ask the market, but it's really 65% the difference between the cheapest farmed one to the most expensive wild-caught.
So until a consumer, a Sea Change Radio listener, can start sinking their teeth into the shrimp box shrimp, what should somebody who loves shrimp do? What do you do when you go out to buy shrimp from a grocery store or at a restaurant?
I really try not to eat shrimp if it doesn't come from one of our farms or from a farm I trust. And wow. I didn't eat shrimp before starting this venture.
You didn't?
No.
So this venture kind of made you realize that there is hope for people who love this form of protein, but its current state is not only unsustainable, but it's distasteful in terms of so many different aspects of the industry.
And literally, because also when you're getting shrimp, most of what you're tasting is the preservatives, potassium metabisulfite, for instance, which gives these like kind of salty, it dries your mouth. So that is not the flavor of shrimp. That is the flavor of the preservative. And they need to use it because this is the only way that they can have it for 3 or 5 years frozen before you get it.
So people should just not eat shrimp until they can get a shrimp box shrimp. In a best case scenario, when can we start seeing your product in our stores or at restaurants on the horizon?
So right now we are starting harvests in Indianapolis. So if you come by, we'll treat you. But this is, of course, for that area. But we are we'll start harvesting with from other people's farms, more like on a commercial scale. We'll have a small industry by the end of 2023. That is our goal. And we intend to capture 5% of the market with this technology by 2030.
Well, good luck. It's a terrific idea, and you've taught us a lot about the shrimp industry. Daniel Rusick, thank you so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you very much, Alex.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Samford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Grant Green, Alan Toussaint, and Peter Green. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.